Hi there, I'm Barbara Turley, and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV, the show that uncovers the diamond tips on creating truly conscious wealth from change makers, world shakers, and wealth creators. As women in business, we often drive ourselves to total overwhelm and burnout. So what better way to explore this topic than to actually invite the founder of Nourishing Hub to join me on the show today to talk about the space that she has created, where as women, we can all enjoy nourishing ourselves a little bit more. Simone Denny, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Barbara.
Thank you for joining me on the show today.
Such an honor to be here on your show.
Thank you very much. And I love about this topic, first of all, that you are also a woman running your own business successfully with kids, I might add. But also because as women, we do tend to drive ourselves that little bit too far, and we don't look after the temple within, I guess. Is that something that you sort of see out there?
Absolutely. I think, as women, we're kind of natural nurturers and we want to look after everybody else. It's our kind of innate being to want to look after children, to want to look after our family. Even in the workplace, we'd like to look after things. So what my website is about actually looking after yourself. I like to use the analogy of kind of the gas mask, where when you're on a flight and they say, put your own gas mask on first. And I think that's so important for women as well, because if we don't have energy and vitality and health, then we can't look after everything and everyone else in our life.
And we can't grow a decent business either, because actually we end up like pedaling really hard and burning ourselves out.
Yeah. There's so many women I know running businesses that have adrenal fatigue or stress or anxiety because they're not taking that time to replenish what they need for themselves.
Yeah. So tell me, Nourishing Hub, so it's got an online store where you can buy, I had a look, amazing products in there.
Yeah.
But it's more than just an online store.
It is more than an online store. And it's a woman's health hub, basically. So there are 500, 600 products on there for women's health, and they're all kind of hand-selected by myself. They're chemical-free, they're organic, they're natural. They range from superfoods to skincare and everything in between. But what the Nourishing Hub is a place to come where you can understand why you're using these products, why you might need these products, and also how to use them.
I think that's really good, how to use them. We're just taking things willy-nilly and you're taking maca powder and acai powder and all these different things.
Exactly.
Not totally sure how they all interact together or whether you need all of them.
Yeah, and sometimes if you're taking the wrong thing for your body, you know, it can have adverse effects as well. I think there's a lot of people who say, I'm having my green smoothie every morning, but why are you having that green smoothie? What is in there? Why are you having spirulina powder? What is that doing for your body? And why is that helping you with energy? Or why is that alkalizing you? Or why are we making raw food? Like, why would we not just cook everything? It's easier, it's cheaper. So I like to write or bring in experts and say, why are we doing it this way? And help women to understand kind of why.
It's not just a fad then. Sometimes these things, they do feel a bit faddish. And we say like, well, I'm going to have my green smoothie and go to my yoga and then turn myself into a total stress head later, but feel okay about it because I did that this morning.
Exactly.
Which is probably something I would do.
Think we are all guilty of me and my business promoting women nourishing themselves. I'm still guilty of, I'm too busy this morning, I skipped my breakfast or I didn't have my smoothie. Yeah. I mean, I try really hard on a daily basis to give my body nourishment, but life is really busy. I mean, there is no one out there that is not feeling stressed and busy. Mm. I mean, it's norm now. So I think you have to make a real effort to incorporate these things into your life. But also, like you say, the other things, you have to be able to be mindful and breathe and do really basic things that we've kind of just forgotten about.
That we're not consciously aware of these things anymore. Mm. Now, I obviously know your background because very similar to mine. We're both financial industry women out of the investment bank. So I'd love to talk to you about, you know, the history of how did you go from, you know, this high-flying career in the investment banks to launching Nourishing Hub, and what has been your own journey with that?
It took me much longer than I probably wanted. I've always been hugely passionate about health and wellness right from the beginning, and I have started out in banking probably at least 15 years ago. And I kind of was going on a path that was doing well, and you know, I'm very grateful for that path because it's really helped me to be able to do what I do now. Mm. But I knew that it wasn't what truly resonated with me. So it took a long time for me to get out of my comfort zone because I felt secure, I felt in
what
control.
Was the money end as well? Money, I mean, this is the money show, right? So I know for me leaving, it was, you're leaving big salaries. Oh, I know that's really scary as women.
That was the biggest challenge for me is that I never thought about money. And now having my own business, I think about money all the time. But I, you know, do you want to travel there? Do you want to do that? I never thought because it was very lucrative. So for me, letting go of that was quite frightening. And I was always doing things on the side, kind of in parallel along the health and wellness. I was coaching, my life coach, became a yoga teacher, trainer. I went on all kinds of retreats and raw food things, but I couldn't quite let go of my job. And also I love, you know, I manage people and told other people what to do. And now I've got my business. I don't tell anyone what to do except myself. Yeah.
Which, it's just you in your office at home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And often I want to tell someone else to do it, but that's a big shift. Mm-hmm. So it was actually when I had my first daughter, Bodhi, in 2011, that was like the perfect time. I'd stepped back, I'd slowed down, I kind of...
Maternity leave,
and I became, I guess, more maternal, and I really saw the need for the nourishing hub when I stopped working. And I guess I wasn't the normal stressed out corporate who kind of didn't look after themselves and went to burnout and didn't eat right. I was the opposite. I was working, but I was doing all these retreats, and I was taking eating the right food and buying almost expensive supplements. And then I had a baby, and all of my energy went into this new thing in my life, and all, you know, even my awake time, not sleeping, all of these things went into this new creation. And I started slipping on the things that I needed for myself.
Yes.
And so I thought, the Nourishing Hub, the tagline is dedicated to putting women's health first.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. It's about an easy, convenient place for women to go to where they can...
reconnect with that one place to go where you can find everything and get re-inspired.
Exactly. Again.
That's what I feel is your website is like.
It's exactly it. It's okay, we sell, whether it's buckwheat or cacao powder, okay, here's what you need to buy, here's how to make a great recipe for you, and while you're at it, there's also some natural toothpaste for your baby, or there's some natural skincare for you. It's a one-shop stop, really, and also inspiring women with other amazing people who are out there doing, who are health crusaders, basically. Mm. And, you know, I bring in naturopaths and nutritionists and homeopaths to share incredible knowledge that are out there. And I really rely on the knowledge of those people. And I interview women who've done incredible things, whether it's physical health or mental health, they're very intertwined. So... Yes, yeah, it's also a place to make women feel okay. It's not, you know, there's always areas that we're struggling in, whether it's talking about anxiety or the drug or
overwhelm. You know, even I think overwhelm is a huge thing. I mean, it's something I definitely get myself, and I know we often try to hide overwhelm.
Mm.
So, you know, looking after your health and just taking that time to even take a deep breath, as you said, being reminded to do that sometimes.
Exactly.
Really important.
Yeah, and so the year ahead, I want to bring on a lot more women or men who are talking about that space. Is how do we handle the number of things we're juggling? And you know, then we've got technology is not helping our overwhelm. You know,
Facebook, life is amazing.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's anxiety inducing, and then kind of all of our quiet time or time for us to decompress is often scrolling through someone else's life. So how do we manage those kind of things? It's all part of woman's health.
Oh, I think it's part of everyone's health actually.
Exactly.
You know, I think as women as well, one thing, a topic I've been exploring a lot recently, which ties really nicely into what you're talking about, is that as women, we have a lot less testosterone than men.
Mm.
And testosterone, in my understanding, is like the push hormone.
Mm.
So as women, when we keep pushing and striving, be it in the corporate world or our own business, we end up burning out much faster than men.
Absolutely.
So actually how we deal with our results-driven or our ability to succeed is different, actually. It needs a different approach to men.
Exactly.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And that can be, you know, women can support themselves in that area through a whole number of rounds, whether it's doing yoga, doing things like yin yoga, that's getting more in touch with the feminine side of our energy. Yeah. What kind of hormonal things are going on with us when we're pushing ourselves that hard? You know, I talk a lot about fertility. I mean, my website kind of runs across women's health, from just general health to fertility, pregnancy, right through to mature women, because we're all going through a different stage of our health. Mm. But when I talk about things like fertility, or I interview people on this area, we've got to look at how is the stress affecting every part of our body. It's hormonal, it's what we eat, it's how we breathe.
How we think, how we feel, how society, what they expect.
It's an enormous topic. And I think just, trying to do the basic health practices daily is almost not enough. We have to create the space for ourselves where we decompress.
And it's actually creating, like you said, space and time for that.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest things is to switch off your phone and your computer, which is so hard, you and I know. We've just been discussing, every spare minute you're trying to...
You're just trying to get that little thing done and this thing done, which is hard, as I think, when you have your own business. That's particularly hard.
Mm, exactly.
But awareness, of course, is half the battle. Mm. So tell me now, so the moment when you decided, was there any personal reason with Nourishing Hub as well? Like, I mean, for me, I could feel the burnout sort of coming with the financial industry, even though I was also wanting to do yoga and I was a green juicer and all those things, but I still felt the angst of being in such a fast-paced environment. So that was kind of my own motivation.
Yeah, I was actually, I guess I was forced to slow down for the first time in my life by having a baby.
Oh, yeah.
So that pushed my mindset into a different place, where I couldn't do what I'd always pushed myself to do.
Mm.
So I used to, you know, every year have a big list of goals. This is what I'm going to do and I'm going to achieve it. And, you know, I was quite hard on myself. And I think having a baby slowed me down and it softened me in the way that I treated myself. I can only do what I can only do is my motto, because my number one priority is looking after my
children. Well, it's better for everyone when you just do, because the goal setting is such masculine energy, actually.
Yeah.
We do need goal setting, but we also need to, I call it the sort of push-pull thing. Mm. We need to know when to push and when to pull back.
Absolutely.
And that's the challenge, I think, for particularly women in business.
It is. So my circumstances, in a way, forced me to adjust how I was doing things. And I still have to check in with that when I'm doing my business, because it's frustrating. I want to do so much, but I'm a mum, and that's my number one.
You can only do so much.
I have windows, which is when I don't, in the evenings when I don't have my children. Mm. And so I have to, be gentle on yourself. And that is also a big part of managing overwhelm. It's like being okay that you can only do what you can do. And we're all human and we're all only capable of so much. And our body can only keep going to a certain level.
Yeah. And then so on that, I mean, I think for women in particular, with that point of us only having certain amounts of time, and it's the challenge between having a lifestyle business and wanting to grow a sort of a scalable business. Now, a lot of women go for the lifestyle business option because they think they can't have a scalable business and, take the time out for children and all that. What are your thoughts on, the difference between the two, and which kind of way were you thinking of going?
Well, at the moment, while my children are so young, I've got 3.5-year-old and 15-month-old, I know that I am more... And just, I mean, I've set up my business and now I'm running it day to day. I've got great ideas of what I do want to do. So I definitely want to scale, but it's a matter of managing that in the way that my family's evolving at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I'm naturally a competitive person. So I want to do everything. And maybe this is one of my big learning lessons out of the business, is that I just have to kind of do things as they come every day. I have definitely big ideas of what I'd like to do.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I guess it's a bit like children, as we were talking there, I was thinking, when your children come along, it takes time for them to grow and to learn and to evolve. And actually, having a business is like having a child in that it starts out and you have to nurture it and grow it.
Absolutely.
And there are stages.
Yeah.
And if we try, I mean, imagine trying to get your 2-year-old to sit down in a classroom with 7-year-olds. Mm. And sometimes we expect that of our businesses,
exactly,
and of ourselves as business owners.
I think that's been another big learning curve, is that it takes a long time to start a business and to really, you know, I think from the outside, a lot of businesses just look so rosy. And I think the idea of following your passion, which is what I am doing, is so different, the reality of that, to what it sounds and looks like. Because you have to sacrifice a lot of things to follow your passion.
You have to be really passionate.
You
have to sacrifice a lot.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times people don't talk about the things they sacrifice. I mean, you kind of picture people writing a blog from the beach, or I mean, these kind of romantic ideas of what it's like to run your business, but it's
but the reality is, like we were talking off air, I mean, I often say this, said it on camera a million times. I mean, you know, my own office is like, I often think the set looks great, and then my own office around me is like, there's chaos, because actually it is quite chaotic in your first, especially in the beginning of a business, when you're trying to get it off the ground.
And nothing...
Nobody sees that.
And I guess nothing in business is as it seems. I mean, what we put on Facebook and on Instagram, it's not like that. My baby's asleep in here while we do a quick interview.
Yes, that's the reality of it.
That's reality. Most of the day is spent cleaning and sweeping, you know, the day-to-day things. I don't know, I wish there was a bit more authenticity in it, but...
Of people actually talking about the reality of it.
Yeah.
Because there's also a lot of failures. Along the way, you get little mini failures, and it's the ability, I think, to... I mean, for me, I'm trying to learn to go through the little mini failures and know that it's not an epic failure.
Mm.
It's not like the whole thing has failed. It's
exactly.
Just these little mini things that might not necessarily fail, but just may not go the way I wanted them to.
Yeah, and it's being kind of kind to yourself when you have a failure, because, there's what you're kind of a lone ranger in a way, often when you start your own business, and no one else, not a lot of people are going to be saying, you did a great job today, because it's just like, you have to kind of pat yourself on the back, and if you have a failure, you get back up and you carry on, because of course you're going to have failures in human.
It's just the way it goes, So with your website, you were saying you have like 500 products?
600
products. So talk to me about how did you, where do you house the products, or is it distribution only that you're doing on the site?
I house all the products here because I have a quite a broad range of suppliers.
You buy the products in?
I buy the products.
So you have stock?
I have stock because I have little tiny one-man businesses who make amazing products to great big distributors who sell a lot of products. So for me, I really want to incorporate that kind of personal... well, my personal values is also supporting small businesses. Because
That are making the quirky, little unusual product that you want to bring to the market.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why there is such a range. And also, the integrity of the product is really important for me.
Mm.
And people buy a really wide range of things in an order. So it can be from bentonite clay to an iPhone, anti-radiation iPhone cover to green powders, all in one.
Now, how do you manage that? Because I think this is interesting. There's a lot of, for any women that are going into product-based businesses, the challenge there is what do you do with the product and the logistics side of it. So you have the products here, but then when an order comes in, who's packing product? How do you get around that? So you're doing that right now.
Yeah, so that's a big thing that I do each night is print out all the postage and do the packing. And I mean, it's very...
It's hands-on right now.
It's really hands-on. And that's the part that I look forward to is the, once you outsource parts of your business, I have a virtual assistant, which I know Barbara knows a lot about.
Yes.
I highly recommend one. So she's in the Philippines, and she does a lot of my, day-to-day admin-y, uploading products and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's been a fantastic investment for me to
have freed up your time so that you can actually then work on the
and so if I and even just getting the time to write down, can you please do these things for me, and then she's
I find if you just say to them, can you figure out how to do this? Because you might be trying to do something, and it would take you 3 hours to research it and get them to do that.
Yeah, I really feel like she's kind of my little angel that's offshore that just helps me out so much on those.
Yeah, they are absolutely fantastic. Mm, yeah.
Highly recommend.
So how are you going to, and I'm interested to know, is how are you going to move it from the you packing up the stuff? Mm. What's the next stage? What does the next stage of the business look like?
Well, the next stage, I'm actually, hopefully this week, moving on to a brand new platform, which will help support
as
my business.
Your website?
Yeah, my website's a move to a whole new back end, new home. Yeah, so it's much cleaner and slicker and easier to purchase and things like that. So I want to also get back into my own coaching because I feel like what I've been working through, even being a mum and juggling business and. And just learning to set up a business and moving from corporate to your own business, all these things, I think, are skills that I'd like to share with other people.
Really valuable stuff that you've learned. Yeah. And I know the stuff I've learned in the last couple of years has been phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's all just
always
trial
learning.
And error as well, isn't it? So, yeah I want to, I also running your own business can also be quite lonely when you're doing a product-based business because you don't have a lot of interaction.
I mean, of course, with other people, because there's coaches or people in the information space. Mm. I mean, although I work from home and I love that, but I'm out meeting people like you all the time. Mm. I'm on the show and I've got things happening. Yeah, whereas you're not really doing that.
No, only when I'm meeting people to interview on my site, which I love.
Yeah.
But going from a big corporate environment, you've always got lots of people around. That's been another adjustment to make.
So I really want
to just keep finding the best products out there and researching them and sharing why do we choose this skincare that has only products that you can eat in it? Why would you choose a skincare like that? Because all of those chemicals, all of those things are doing something to your body. It's creating a burden in your body, and we don't know the combination of all of these.
And you're not going to read about that in Marie Claire magazine.
No,
or Cleo. You're actually not going to read about that. You're going to read about the latest bubblegum smelling, whatever that has laden with chemicals.
Yeah, I mean, women every day put on such a combination of different products, whether it's in their hair, skin, soaps, all of these things, and they're all going into our pores. And we don't know...
And into our children.
Into our children.
Actually,
exactly. And we don't know the reaction of all those different things on top of each other. But if you're just putting onto your body and eating, consuming things that don't have any of those toxins or chemicals, then that's a great place to start. I guess the big part that I want to increase is the education.
Which means you could introduce the whole, as you say, coaching and information type, some products for coaching products and things like that in there. That would be exciting.
I know. I meet people all the time that I want to share their story because there's just, incredible women and men out there that have got so much to share.
And then tell me, when you first started out, I'm interested to know about how do you go from, because the hardest part at the beginning is the marketing piece.
Mm.
Did you just buy a whole pile of stock and then...
Yeah.
Open the door on day one and go, how are you?
I actually had kind of thought.
How did you manage to get
it? I mean, I actually went to business school in the States and we learned a lot about how to, create the ideal business plan and do all of this stuff, which I actually did with some other smaller businesses that I was going to start. I did everything by the book and I'd written big business plans. And then this one, I did it totally the opposite
feel?
Way.
Yeah. Intuition
I did
and
it,
feel?
Feel and intuition. I didn't do all the things I learned in school. I lost out for some things. I mean, I really did buy a broad range of products. Yes. And that was probably a lesson I learned, that just start small because you don't know what people are going to buy.
Yeah, well, you were probably thinking, have a broad range because I don't know what people are going to buy.
Yeah.
But actually, you need to.
Yeah, so that was a great takeaway point. But my product range was kind of catering for all kinds of women, which it still is, but now I feel like I've kind of fine-tuned it down to what women perhaps use and want.
And what they're buying and what's selling online. Yeah, because I always admire product businesses because of that logistics thing.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine having to cope with that.
It is a bit of trial and error at the beginning.
Yeah. So tell me about what's the big vision for the business, for the side? I mean, where do you sort of see it going?
Well, I would like it to be what its name is, which is a nourishing hub. It's a place that women come to be inspired, because I think we often kind of try to go healthy and then we lose our...
We lose our way.
We lose our way and we lose our energy and motivation to make a really healthy breakfast or to you know, it's hard on top of everything else to do that. I want the Nourishing Hub to be a place where you're like, oh yeah, I can do that. I've got those ingredients, or oh, I could swap these ingredients really easily in my mm-hmm. pantry and create something totally different. Mm-hmm. So I want women to come there to learn. I want it to be a convenient place that they don't have to drag themselves all over town trying to find particular products in a different place. I want it to be all in one place that's easy yeah. and convenient and fast, but also tells you why and how you should use it. So yeah, just a woman's health hub, basically.
Fabulous. Yeah. And I have one more question before we finish. I'm always interested in this one because, and I know we've talked about this before, but again, the marketing end, like, what are you finding is working out there, or what do you feel where do you get the most traction? Is it people talking about it, or is it
word of mouth? Is great. Mm-hmm. I guess I sell to such a broad range of places in Australia, from, you know, little towns in Darwin to Tasmania, and I love that part of my business. I'm like, wow, I've never heard of that.
Like, how did they find you though? Is it online?
A lot of the time, yeah. It's through Google.
Yeah.
And yeah, so the SEO side is something that is important for me.
Yeah.
The blogging has really helped me, I think, through just educating and sharing information, and I guess people share and through Facebook, and Instagram is also a big I have a big place in my heart for Instagram, because I used to love photography, and now that's kind of where, as fast and furious as I can take my photos on a little phone like that of food, it's all kind of very
sort of food, and that's brands, people
I mean, I love that that space, kind of a little small creative outlet. I think Google is definitely
I like as well the way, and I think this is something again for product businesses that are not thinking this way, I like that you're pairing content and blogging and online content management with a product-based business, because the content can drive sales to the product, which actually is a really clever way of driving more sales.
I think
converting more sales.
Absolutely. You can walk into a health food store, because people might say, well, why would I not just buy it from down the road? But I don't think that there is an often I'll talk to the person who made that product, and whether it's a skincare, and I ask them why do you put these ingredients in, so you can actually see why would you use this product in your life, why are you using maca powder, like a naturopath might explain, and it's not for everybody.
So you can get, well, of course, also you can write content that's really specific for what people are searching for.
Exactly.
Which is, of course, the SEO thing.
Exactly.
Which is really key.
It's really important to have your keywords within every blog is so important for Google.
Because somebody could be writing, I mean, I'm just thinking about the maca powder one. You could write an article that has nothing to do with maca powder. It could be how to
balance your hormones.
Or you know, even more specific than that. I'm thinking of one for myself specifically. It was increasing progesterone. And apparently maca powder, I think, is good for that. But it could be something like how to increase your progesterone naturally.
Exactly.
And then at the end of that, you link to the product.
Absolutely.
So it's a great way of somebody who may not be looking at a maca powder, but looking for something else, actually buys the product. So from a business perspective, that's fantastic.
That's definitely
that will only grow. So Simone, if people want to connect with you, they want to go and buy some amazing products off your fabulous website, where should they go?
Well, they should go straight to the website, which is nourishinghub.com.au.
Right.
You can also follow us on Facebook or Instagram, and join our blog, so you can actually receive this information and write into your inbox each kind of week or every second week.
And get great tips from you on how to use these amazing products.
Yeah, I love that.
Simone, thank you so much for being on the show. I just love this topic because it's a topic close to my own heart.
Brilliant.
So I really appreciate you coming on the show
today. Pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. And thank you for watching again for another week. And remember, you can catch me later this week, as always, on my podcast, Wealth Unplugged, where I'm going to be giving you my key takeouts from my chat today with Simone. So until next week, have a great week. See you then.